Hey everybody, welcome to Graceway Online. We are so glad that you're here today. Joining us on demand is awesome, but did you know that we go live every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time? Every Sunday, our online host team is available to chat and pray with you. To join us live, go to live.visitgraceway.org or catch us on Facebook.
But I will tell you, the prayer season was never supposed to be a one and done. It was never supposed to be, we're going to pray 14 days in a row, and then we're going to stop. Rather, it was supposed to be a catalyst for the rest of your year. And so the title of the sermon today is Day 15. Day 15. What's the next step coming out of what God gave you, or what God said, or what God accomplished in the 14 days of prayer? And so I want you to go in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen behind me. But I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 to you. And it says this: "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May God himself set you apart from the world and to himself, from the plans of the enemy and to his plans and purposes. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be," what's the next word? "Be kept. Be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You've heard me say many times from this stage that I want you to go and to get everything that God has for you. That I want you to position yourself in humility and in surrender and in submittedness to the plans and purpose of God for your life. It's really the reason that we do Growth Track, is to give you an opportunity to find out the reason that God put you on this planet so that you can step into the ministry and calling that he has for you. But as I was meditating on 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, I came to the realization that really what I would like for you is, yes, there are things that I want you to go get, but more than anything, there are things that you already have that I want you to keep. There are things that God has already given you that I want you to hang on to. And most Christians that I know, they don't really know who they are in Jesus. They haven't kept it. They don't really know that they're called. They haven't kept it. They don't really know that they have gifts. They haven't kept it. They don't really remember all the things that God has done and all the things that God has said and all the things that God has accomplished. And when the time comes and the pressure's on because they haven't kept it, the only thing they can go is go get it, right? And so if I could do anything, I would teach you how to keep what God has already given you. And so the question that I have for you is, in these last 2 days, what did God give you? What did God give you? What did God say to you? What did God accomplish in you? I talked to some of you who had never fasted before, and a couple of you who had never fasted and then decided to do a complete fast. Like, you crazy, right? I specifically said, unless God told you, don't do a complete fast. But some of you, I talked to a young lady last Sunday, and she said, I haven't really had this experience with God speaking to me, but as soon as you said, ask God what fast you should do, I asked God, and it was like he spoke to me and said, do a complete fast. And she said, I assume that he was talking to the person beside me. Like, I'll tell them what you wanted me to tell. And he's like, no, you. And so she did a 7-day complete fast. And I said, how are you feeling? And she said, terrible, with this big smile on her face. And she goes, but amazing, right? Because fasting teaches us what we really are. We're weak and we're dependent and we need God's strength. And God says, when you're weak, that's when I'm the strongest. And so God taught her something through a fast that I want her to keep. I talked to another person who did a fast, and same thing. I feel terrible and great, but I'm realizing who I am in God, and I'm realizing how to hear from God, and I'm realizing that God speaks and moves and he asks, and now I've eaten and I'm excited. I'm excited, and I want you to keep that. Some of you, God answered your prayer, and I want you to keep that. Some of you, God gave you clarity, and I want you to keep that. Some of you, God gave you hope, and I want you to keep that. Some of you, God mended something that's been broken, and I want you to keep that. I want you to keep that. And so I want to teach you how to do that today. And I want to do it in two ways. I want to teach you a couple principles, and then I want to give you a couple practical ways to do it. So here's the principle. It's something that I've taught you before, but I know that I'm prone to forget, so I'm going to teach you again. And it's a principle called the rule of five. It's the rule of five, and it comes from a leadership author by the name of John Maxwell. And the principle is essentially this, that if you want to chop down a tree, you need to have a plan, and the plan should look something like this. You need to pick the tree that you want to chop down. You need to go get an axe. You need to walk over to the tree. You need to strike the tree five times in the same place and then put the axe down. You go back inside. You do whatever you need to do during the day. You come out the next morning. You go to the same tree, pick up the same axe, hit the axe in the same spot five more times. You put the axe down. You go inside. You go about your day. You come out the next morning. You get the same axe at the same tree, hit it in the same spot. You with me? Five times. Put it down. And Dr. Maxwell says that there's an absolute certainty if you'll do this. It's not if the tree will get chopped down. It's when the tree will get chopped down. If you will commit to this simple and seemingly inadequate plan, over time, a small plan consistently executed produces big results. And so what I want to talk to you about today is that many of you, in spite of everything that you know about God, in spite of how long you've been attending church, in spite of how much you read the Bible, you aren't growing because you aren't following this rule. And if I think about my own life and times that I've been stuck, there's been a handful of reasons. So let me just give you my testimony on this, and we'll see if it's relevant to you. The first is that I've realized that in my own life, hoping for something and planning to do something are not the same thing. Like hoping to be a better husband versus having a plan, an accountable plan to be a better husband, two very different things. And what I've seen in my own life is that the someday plans very often become the today plans. Like someday I'll do that. Hey man, someday we're going to do coffee, which means we're never going to do coffee, right? Someday I'm going to be generous, but someday never becomes today. And I've realized in my own life that rather than some grand genius level plan that never gets executed, if I just had a small plan that was easy enough for me to do every day, I'll be growing consistently. And over a lifetime, I cut down a lot of trees. Come on, somebody. I've realized that whenever I have a plan and today becomes today, that sometimes I walk out to that tree and I pick up that axe and I'm all excited and I hit it a couple times and I'm feeling really good about myself and God's extra happy with me and then something interesting pops up on Instagram or my phone rings or my calendar. I get distracted easily from plans. I've also realized that sometimes I go out to the same tree and I hit it a couple times and then I say, well, maybe I should go over to that tree and hit that tree a couple times. And I've realized that sometimes even when I pick the same tree and I get focused on the same tree that I hit it in one spot and the next day I hit it up here and the other day I hit it over here and months later, no damage has ever been done to it, really. I've realized that sometimes, especially in church context, we get through these prayer seasons, we get all hyped up and we go out to a tree and we hit the tree 46,000 times in one day. And then I got blisters and sore shoulders and I'm burned out and I got to recover and then I don't come back to that tree for 6 months. Any of these ever happened to any of you in your spiritual walk with God? I'm easily distracted. I don't have a good plan. I get all juiced up and then burned out. And so I want to teach you what it looks like on day 15 to bring focus to your next step. Not your next steps. Your next step. And I'm going to ask you again, what did God give you in prayer this past 2 weeks? What's your tree? Not your trees. What's your tree as you go a little bit deeper into 2020 and into the decade of the 20s? Some of you say, this is my year to grow in my faith. This is my year to grow in sharing my faith. This is my year to be a better wife or husband or friend or brother. This is my year to get debt free. This is it. I'm doing it so I can be more generous. This is my year to figure out my calling so that I can make a difference in the world that I am. What is the plan that you have around that? Psalm 17 and verse 24 says this, the discerning sets his face towards wisdom. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. So watch. The discerning says, I'm going to go this direction. The fool goes, I could go this direction or this direction or this direction or this or this or that or this, which means that I'm going to be here next year. And so what I want you to take and keep is what God gave you in prayer. And I want to teach it to you this way. I want to teach you the thing that has to be true for you to keep anything that God gave you. This fundamental truth that gives way to you keeping what God gave you in 14 days of prayer. And it's three simple words. It's in 2020. I want you to put God first. I want you to put God first. Now, this is different than I want you to have a good relationship with God. This is different than I want you to show up at church all the time and read your Bible. And this is different than all of those things. This is, of all of your priorities, I want you to make God number one. And not only do I want you to make God the most important, I want you to make God in sequence the first thing. And so when I get stressed, I go to God first. When I have a decision, I go to God first. When I am in transition, I go to God first. When I begin a day, I go to God first. When I make money, I give it to God first. It's putting God first means he is first in priority and in sequence. And in the Bible, it's an important thing for us because there's a principle of first. There's a principle of first. First represent the rest in the Bible. My wife was reading her Bible this morning. She was actually listening to it as we were getting ready, and we were listening to the genealogy of Noah after he gets off of the ark. And it basically went like this. Here was the dad, and then he had a son, and then he had a bunch of other sons and daughters. It's like, well, what were their names? It doesn't matter because the first represents the rest in the Bible. Secondly, the first directs the rest in the Bible. In the Bible, the firstborn, the first sheep, the first day of the week, the first of the crops directs the rest. It sets the course for the rest because it represents the rest. And in the Bible, God, listen to me, always claims the first. God doesn't claim the third. He doesn't claim the fifth. He doesn't claim the tenth. He claims the first because in the Bible, the first represents the rest and directs the rest. And so one author said it this way. Are you still with me? Put first things first, and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and we lose both first and second things. Okay, Pastor Todd's the only one who understood what I just said. He said, that's good, and none of y'all said anything else, so I'm going to say it to you one more time, okay? Listen to me, because this is a game changer for you. Put first things first, and you get second things thrown in. Put second things first, and you lose seconds and firsts. Here's the way Jesus said it, Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's the principle of first. God says, if you put me first, I'll give you seconds. But if you try to give me seconds, you're going to miss out on all of it. Now, you're actually doing this right now. It's the first day of the week. And you're essentially tithing of your week, whether you know it or not. You're showing up in the first part of the day, of the first day of the week, and it sets a course and represents, hopefully, who you want to be and what you want to do with the rest of your week. It sets a direction for your week. I don't know about you, but when I miss church on Sunday, it throws off my whole week. Because that Sunday represents and directs, and God claims it. This is the reason that I say to you, hey, man, don't miss church. Don't miss church. It's not about attendance. It's not about God's happy with you if you're here and not happy with you if you're not here. It's about you making a decision that directs and represents who you want to be and what you want to give to God with the rest of your week. We do this with our money. We tithe. Tithe means tenth. It's the first bit of what you make. You make $100, we return $10 out of representation that the rest is God's, and out of direction that you're going to be a good steward of everything else that God gave you. God claims the first. We do this in prayer. It's the reason that we pray with the first full week of the year. You say, well, I got to come out while it's snowing and icy and all that kind of thing, because it's the first week of the rest of the year, and we're going to pray and tithe it to God. And so we give God of our time, we give God of our attention, we give God of our money, we give God of our prayers. And please listen to me. It has nothing to do with the numerics of it. It has nothing to do with the numerics of it. Tithing isn't about a number. God doesn't care if you give him $10 or $8 or $10,000. Tithing isn't about numerics, it's about faith. Because tithing, listen to me, is something that I decide to give to God before I have it. It's something that before God gives me anything, I say, God, the first part, I'm going to give to you. The first part of my week, I'm going to give to you. The first part of my money, I'm going to give to you. The first part of my family and my year and everything that I am, I'm going to give to you before you give it to me. This is the reason that I say to you, if you want to be generous, you better decide before you have any money. Because once you have money, let me tell you what's going to happen. Your entertainment, your bills, your debt are going to gobble up all the things that you should be starting with God. Can I tell you, if you want to get debt free, you need to start tithing. Now you say, I knew you were going to make this about money. This has nothing to do with money. This has to do with faith and posture and temperament and dependence and giving to God. It's the reason that God says to Israel, he doesn't say to Israel, give me a tithe. He says, bring it. It's very different. Tithing isn't giving, it's returning. And God's given you a week, return the first. God's given you whatever he gave you, return a tenth. God calls you to give him the first because he knows that if you'll give him the first, he can give you the rest. He can give you the rest. I'm preaching 96% better than y'all responding right now. Listen, I got a Chiefs jersey on, and I'm preaching 96% better than y'all are responding. You're just staring at me like, okay, whatever. All right? Listen, I'm trying to help you because these are principles that you can base your life on. These are principles that you can base your life on. So I want to show you from God's word the rule of five. I want to give you five things that will represent you giving to God, seeking his kingdom first. And here's the thing. The enemy wants to complicate and make esoteric and conceptual walking with God. Please listen to me. Walking with God is not a concept. Walking with God is not a sentiment. Walking with God is a practice. Okay? If I said to my wife, Look, I feel married to you. I mean, it's in there. What's she going to say? You better start showing me, sucker. I ain't interested in your sentiment. I'm interested in your schedule. Come on, somebody. Okay? And so putting God first isn't like, well, I feel like I'm putting God first. No, show me. Show me how you put God first. I want to teach you how to do that today, all right? Very simple. And all the way through God's word. Number one, I need you to, beginning tomorrow, acknowledge and thank God. Acknowledge and thank God. You're like, that's it? That's it. Well, that's not going to cut the tree down. That on its own is not going to cut the tree down. But it sets you on a path. Look at what the Bible says in Psalms 145, 1 through 3. I will extol you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Now, this is what I hear all the time in churches. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to read the whole Bible today. What? What are you talking about? What did they put in your coffee, right? But watch what David says. I'm going to bless your name forever and ever. And then what's the next two words? In order to get to forever and ever, I got to start tomorrow. I got to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day, I will bless you and praise your name. He says again, forever and ever. Between the forever and ever is Monday. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. And so I want you to get up tomorrow morning, and it looks like this. Don't start your day confessing your sin. I'm trying to free some of you because I know how you pray. You pray guilty prayers. And I want you to be free of that. Listen, don't come to God with your condemnation. Come to God through his grace. And you come to God through his grace. You wake up tomorrow morning and it's minus 180, right? And it's snowing. Actually, it never snows on Monday. It only snows on Saturday in this city. I don't know what the deal is. The devil's a meteorologist. That's what's up. All right. You don't want to get out of bed, and I sit up in bed, and I don't start with God, I'm sorry. I start with God, you're great. God, you're gracious. God, you're forgiving. God, you set me free. God, you make me new. God, in you, I'm whole, and I'm pure, and I'm righteous. God, I'm going to keep all the things that you gave me as I head into this day. Now here's the thing. You come to church, and I hope that you get some fresh wind in your sails, and I hope you have a good time, and I hope you enjoy the presence of God. So tomorrow's easy, but if you're going to really acknowledge and thank God, I'm talking about Thursday morning. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about Thursday morning, you getting up, and the first thing that you do is thank you, God. Thank you, God, for I acknowledge you with everything that I am today. I thank you for everything that you've given me. I thank you for everything that you've made me. I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you that I know where I would be without you. Every day, go to the same tree, pull out the same axe. Just every day, every day. Number two, every day, I need to surrender my life to God. I need to surrender my life to God. And this is Jesus. He said to all, if any of y'all, Jesus from the Midwest, if any of y'all would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once a year during prayer season. Nope. Daily. Daily and follow me. Now let me be super honest with you, all right? I'm a professional Christian. I get paid to be a Christian, right? You know that. Y'all are looking at me like, what? Yeah, man, I'm a pastor. Like, I'm a professional Christian. Just trying to keep a straight face, having a hard time. Do you know that whether I get paid to be, I'm a pastor, went to school for, blah, 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 that if I don't wake up tomorrow morning and surrender and die to myself, by the end of the day, I'm in my flesh, I'm carnal, and Jesus is not a part of the picture. And do you know that even if I give God my Monday, it doesn't mean I give him my Tuesday? And do you know, I'm not even to the weekend yet. I'm looking at you, college students. Now listen, every day I need to wake up and I need to say, God, thank you. And I need to say, God, I surrender. I surrender my will to you. I surrender my money to you. I surrender my relationships to you. I surrender my calendar to you. I surrender my affections to you. And do you know how often I need to do that? Every day. I need to do that every day because what I have found about my flesh is that it's like the game Whack-A-Mole. Have you played Whack-A-Mole? Yeah. On Monday, I crack that mole square in the face, and then he comes back on Tuesday. And so every day I wake up and I don't start with my failures. I start with God's grace. And then I acknowledge my dependence and I surrender to God. I surrender my will to God daily so that I can follow him daily. Are you with me? Yes. Y'all know I'm kidding about the professional Christian thing, okay? Please don't send me an email, all right? Number three is daily I want you to talk to God. Daily, I want you to talk to God. Here's the verse, Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Can I tell you what prayer is? Prayer is taking what's going on and instead of you bearing it, giving it to God. Instead of you bearing the stress of your finances, I give it to you to bear. Instead of you bearing the shame of your past, I give it to you to bear. Instead of you bearing the dysfunction in your family, I give it to you to bear. And some of us are carrying things that God's just waiting on you to pass him the ball. Some of you, have you ever played basketball with a guy who thinks he's got great handles and he stands at the top of the key doing all this stuff and the guy's standing under the basket like, pass me the ball, man. Some of us, the reason that you're bogged down and the reason that you're burdened is that you're showing off your handles and God's like, can I have that? Because I want to bear you up how often? Daily. I want to bear you up daily. And I will tell you that life has a way of burdening us. And that daily I need to come to God and thank him. Daily I need to come to God and surrender. And daily I need to come to God and give him my day so that I'm not carrying it around. Because I know that I'm weak. Because I know that I'm dependent. We just went through a fast to teach us that. Now here's the thing about prayer that's very practical. There's three things that you need to do around prayer. Number one, you need to pick a time to pray. You need to pick a time to pray. Are you still with me? Okay, Psalms 5 and verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. You say, I'm not a morning person. Fine, read it this way. In the evening, on my drive home, at my lunch break. What's the idea? It's the understanding that if you don't pick a time, your calendar will run you. And when you listen, you are too busy to not be praying. And so some of you who are very calendar driven, I would put into your calendar at 6:30 every morning, I'm praying. At 5:30 on the way home, I'm praying, because I know that I need to choose to do it before my calendar hits. Number two, you need to pick a certain place. Here's the text, Mark 1 and verse 35. Jesus rose very early in the morning while it was still dark, and he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So where's your, in church, what do we say, where's your prayer closet? Where's the place that you pray? So my wife will tell you, in the morning, I do one of two things. I either roll over and get my Bible, and I just sit up and do my thing there. Or if nobody else is up, I will go out to our fireplace. Now, that place is dependent on where I'm going to get interrupted. Because I know that when I pray, not only do I need to be talking, but I need to be listening. And so don't say to your wife while you're trying to get the kids ready to go to school, oh, this is my time to pray. No, don't do that. Pick a time that you can both talk and listen. Pick a time where you are focused. Pick a time and a place. So I have a chair or a side of the bed, and that's where I pray all the time. I sometimes pray in my closet or in my car. I sometimes shut out the lights in this auditorium when nobody's in here, and I walk around in the dark. Those are my spots. But I have spots that I meet with God. And if you're going to regularly pray, you need to have spots that you meet with God. Number three is pick a plan. So pick a time, pick a place, and pick a plan. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? In Luke chapter 11, it says this. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, there it is again, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, dang, that was awesome. Right? I mean, that's in the Aramaic. Can you imagine hearing Jesus pray? Jesus prays, and the disciples are like, wow, that was incredible. And he says, Lord, can you teach us to do that? As John taught his disciples, and Jesus said to them, man, you just kind of start talking and see what happens. Is that what he says? No. He says, when you pray, say, and he teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. So I'm not saying to pray the Lord's Prayer, but I am saying that if you're anything like me, there are many times that I begin to pray and I just sit there. There are many times that I'm like, I don't know what to say. God's not saying anything. Or I just kind of ramble on and there's no connectivity. And it's the reason that we do the prayer journals for you. Because that was a game changer in my own personal life, to just have a starting place. And so I'll tell you, in my own life, my prayer life took off when I picked a time, where I picked a spot, and when I started a prayer journal. And what happened was I found out not just that God hears me, but that God's been talking back the whole time. God's been talking back the whole time. And so here it is, the first three cracks at the tree. I will acknowledge and thank God. I will surrender my life to God every day, and I will talk to God every day. Number four, I will read and submit to God's word every day. I will read and submit to God's word every day. Now, please understand this. I do want you to read your Bible. I've said that before, right? Maybe 8,000 times. I want you to read your Bible, but here's what's really true. I want you to read your Bible with a posture of humility and submission so that you obey your Bible. Here's why. Because I know lots of people who study their Bible all the time and look nothing like Jesus. Churches are full of people who could recite this back and forth, and this is what that words mean, and this is that principle, and this is that type, and all that kind of thing. But they're mean and rude and arrogant. And that's not a thing in the Bible. Jesus says, the way y'all are going to know me isn't how many times you read your Bible, it's how well you love one another. Okay? Okay, I'll just leave that right there. And so watch what happens. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, it says this, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it. How often? Day and night, so that you might be careful to do according all to all that is written in it. For then you will have your way be prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you see the principle of seeking of first and seconds there? Joshua says, I'm going to meditate first, and then my way is going to be prospered. How often did he meditate on God's word? day and night, day and night, day and night. Here's another one. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You say, I'm not walking in the counsel of the wicked. If you are going to work and watching the news, you're getting counsel. You understand that, right? Okay. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk that way, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates. How often? Day and night. There it is again. He will, here's the rule, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Are you with me? Every day, every day. So let me help you on one of two ways. I want you to get on a Bible reading plan. A great app is the YouVersion Bible app. I have two groups that I'm in right now that I'm reading through the Bible with two groups of people, and we read every single day through God's Word. Every single day. Now, why do I do that? Because I want to accomplish reading through the Bible every year, no matter what, and because I know that on Tuesday, I'm probably not going to want to do it. And so I have about 20 people actually who are reading through it with me. So the YouVersion Bible app is a great way to go about it. If you say, I don't want to use an app and I don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible and we'll connect you with a small group that's reading through the Bible. But I do need you to understand that if you're going to meditate on God's Word every single day, if you're going to be in God's Word every single day, if you're going to be a person who follows this rule of first so that your life can prosper, I would say read God's Word with somebody else. So I can see people in the audience right now that I'm reading the Bible with. And if they don't read their Bible today, I'm going to call them at the end of the day. Are you all with me? Hey, are you all distracted right now? Are you good? We're good, right? Everything's good. All right. So here it is, the rule of five. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to surrender to God. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to read and submit to God's Word. And then number five, I'm going to maintain meaningful relationships. I'm going to maintain meaningful relationship. Here's the text, Ecclesiastes 4:12. For though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let me say it to you in kind of current vernacular. Let's say that I get into a fight. Someone attacks me. Now, most of the time, I'm going to be just fine. I'm just kidding, all right? Somebody attacks me. Somebody attacks me, and we'll see what happens. But if the same person attacks me, and Pastor Jeremy's with me, and Coach Matt's with me, and Pastor Todd's with me, and Miss Juliet, she looks nice, but she's nasty. She'll cut you, right? All right? If they're all with me, I'll be just fine. So let me tell you why the devil keeps messing with you, because you keep trying to fight him by yourself. So we're going to start small groups January 26th. We have 170 small groups. 170 small groups. Can I tell you, please listen to me. I don't care about small groups. I don't. If the small groups stop working, we won't be doing them. I care about you finding a friend so you don't fight your spiritual battles by yourself. You need to be in a small group. You can go online, visit graceway.org/groups. And get in a Bible reading group or get in a Chiefs watching group or a Royals watching group or get in a Chips and Salsa group or get in a study of the Book of Revelation group or get in a swimming while weaving a basket group. I don't care, okay? But I want you to commit to relationships in 2020. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another. How often? How often? Every day. And because God knows that you're going to have an exception, he's going to go, every day that's called today. Every day that's called today, talk to somebody who loves you and loves Jesus. That none of you might be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Can I tell you, I love Jesus on Sundays. I mean, I love him on Sundays. Thursday, I need a friend. I need a friend. Are you with me? Thursday, I need someone to remind me of what God gave me on Sunday and remind me that I need to keep what God gave me. Here's how I want to help you guys. I want you to understand that God has already given you everything that you need to follow him in 2020. He's given you everything that the Bible says that pertains to life and godliness. Following God is not a concept. It's a practice. And I've taught you the way to do it today. I've taught you the axe and the tree and the five swipes. And what I'm challenging you to do is to entrust God, not conceptually with 2020, but in your practices with 2020. And I'm asking you to just give it 6 months. Give it 6 months, and every day, get up. You say, but the Chiefs are on today. Do it after. But what if I get sick? Have somebody read it to you. But what if I lose my Bible? We'll give you a different one, right? No excuses. All five of them, every day, putting God first. And I promise you, you won't recognize yourself. I promise you that you'll see that God's been good and kind and faithful, and that he's had you all along. Do you receive this today?